Okay, now what's this? The Army's 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team has spent 35 of the last 60 months in Iraq, patrolling in full battle rattle, helping restore essential services, escorting supply convoys. Now they're training for the same mission, but with kind of a twist. At home. That's right. Beginning October 1st, for 12 months, the 1st BCT will be under the day-to-day control of the U.S. Army North, the Army Service component of the Northern Command, as an on-call federal response force for natural or man-made emergencies and disasters, including possible attacks. It is not the first time an active duty unit has been tapped to help at home. In August of 2005, for example, when Hurricane Katrina unleashed hell in Mississippi and Louisiana, several active duty units were pulled from various posts and mobilized to those areas. But this new mission marks the first time an active unit has been given a dedicated assignment to NORTHCOM, a joint command established in 2002 to provide command and control for federal homeland defense efforts and coordinate defense support of civil authorities. A very peculiar story. Tonight, the world through the eyes of journalist and broadcaster Alex Jones. Alex, as you know, is a regular contributor here on Coast to Coast. His views are determined after he researches issues. You may not agree with him, but he cites various news periodicals and reporters in his research. He regularly posts on his websites, prisonplanet.com and infowars.com, stories and articles relating to the New World Order, terrorism, tyranny, just to name a few. Now, recently at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, Alex stumbled into blogger, author, and political commentator Michelle Melkin. The get-together created quite a stir, even with me. Here's a portion.
Michelle Malkin's right here. Michelle Malkin, come on, come on.
Hey, Michelle Malkin.
Hello?
You still promoting FEMA camps for the American people? Your book, The Case for Internment Camps. I'm Alex Jones. I interviewed you one time.
Well, you haven't read the book, so.
Yes, I have.
Also, I'm working here, so turn your...
Well, you're acting all elitist and powerful.
Yeah, I'm real elitist. I'm working. There's a protest going on.
Well, it's a free country. I'm standing right here. I know you want to put me in a camp for it.
Yeah, right.
You were too shrill for Fox News, huh?
But Michelle...
Who are you?
Michelle, why are you disrespecting the 9/11 victims' family members?
It's one of the little neocon fake liberals that take this country over.
There are unanswered questions into 9/11.
It's real funny.
Bill Doyle, head of the largest victims' family members group.
You helped destroy it. You helped sell it under the New World Order.
Bill Doyle, head of the largest victims' family members.
Yeah, the majority of victims' families know 9/11's an inside job, Michelle.
So why do you keep disrespecting them on Fox News?
Hey, you know what? The majority of people know, and you guys have totally shot your wad, and you're discredited. And the New Yorker magazine just reported Dick Cheney planned to attack our own ships. You don't want to talk about that, do you, Michelle Malkin?
There's family members. Celebrities standing up for 9/11 shoes.
Don't you touch me again. Hey, Michelle Malkin, you make us sick. Michelle Malkin, you knock your ass right there. Richard, huge fan. I saw you in Chicago. Tell him to the New World Order. Richard in here. Get on her. Hey, there she is. She wants to put Americans in death camps. She wants to arrest real Americans. No. No, but let me just tell you something. That makeup makes you look a lot better on TV. Looks like that evil's starting to get to your soul. You're disgusting, wicked New World Order trash.
You are.
Let me tell you something. You said that dog the Marines threw off the cliff was fake. It's admitted to be real. You said that was fake, and then you never backed off on it. Keep your hands off me, punk. You've already touched me once.
You touched him. I saw
you. No, you liar. Let me tell you something. They murdered that little dog just like they murdered those Iraqi children. And you lied and said I was a liar. Alex Jones is a capitalist.
In a moment, we'll talk about some real issues with Alex Jones that are affecting all of us here. But we'll also find out just what the heck happened. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Alex Jones, of course, award-winning documentary filmmaker, political researcher. His websites, I just mentioned, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, at the forefront of the exploding alternative media. Here he is with us on Coast to Coast. Alex, welcome back.
George, the most powerful hour I've ever heard you do with that last guest. Your questions, your analysis, what the guest was saying, absolutely on target, and I am just so honored to be here to talk about these important issues with tens of millions of listeners as all of this collapse of the economy into the New World Order by design is taking place. We have all the documents, all the proof. We've been saying here, of course, now as a guest for almost 6 years on your show, that this would happen, and we can break that down. And then, of course, the attack on free speech and the Internet is happening. You mentioned the Army Times. If you read that article carefully, I know it's up on coasttocoastam.com. Folks can link through to it also at Infowars.com. They say that they're there for riot control, for crowd control in the U.S. And if you read carefully, they're going to roll different brigades through for domestic training in the United States and to use microwave guns and sound cannons, the so-called non-lethal weapons. So everything that I've talked about for 13 years, everything you've been talking about for so many years, is now unfolding. This is just the beginning. And it's just amazing to be here.
And it's happening, Alex, at such a rapid clip. And these issues are so important, but I wanted to get your take. I wanted you to tell us, because I got so many emails on the day this happened, what happened out there at the DNC when you saw Michelle Melkin? It sounds like you just lost it.
Well, George, you know, I am somebody who, when I do something wrong, I'm man enough to admit it. And I had already realized what I did wrong when you sent me an email and said, look, you're too big a figure. You have too many people that look up to you. You can't lose control, whatever the reasons are. And you're absolutely right. But you have to understand, there's also video. Just type in Alex Jones assaulted by MSNBC, and you'll see them with a knife slash my megaphone cord. You'll see Democrat and Republican protesters, old ladies, young men, hitting each other with signs. So day after day, I'm there, going to event after event, being punched, kicked, hit. My testosterone is up. It's bedlam at these events. And then I'm at the Mint there in Denver. And the media, by the way, in the Denver Post and Dallas Morning News and other places said that I was there leading it, that I was levitating the Mint, or I thought I could. I was there covering it. That's a lie. And I see Michelle Melkin, and I come over, and a couple of them, her bodyguards start bumping into me, and that's when I got fired up. They did things that were wrong as well, but regardless, I have to keep my cool because the responsibility that I have, as you and others, and even as my family said. But what happened is the reason for the first two or three days, it was a PR disaster for me, and then after it flipped and became a big victory, thank God people found the truth, thanks to alternative media, there were probably 400 protesters there. No exaggeration, 50 cameras were on it. I mean, it was all over YouTube, all over Google. We were streaming live over the web with a cell phone card hooked into a camera. We can do that now. And what happened is people edited the video. There were different versions of the video. Some of the video that the neocon crowd, her allies, put out, there were provocateurs there that were with local neocon. They're not real conservatives like myself and others. They put out video, edited, because suddenly these guys that run up and say, I'm glad you found the clip where the audio is clear.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, some had said that you said, let's kill her. You did not.
Well that's clearly the point I was gonna make. I mean, I'm saying that I got angry and should have, you know, controlled myself better. But the bigger story is that I'm, thank God you guys actually have the 50-something clips found a close camera. But from cameras 30, 40 feet away, these guys come up who later left with people that were with her. I don't know if they were specifically under her orders, but they were with her. They were wearing masks, hats, glasses to cover their faces. They come up right when I'm talking to her, you know, nicely at first. I mean, I'm not yelling yet. And they say, hey, I'm a big fan. I saw you in Chicago. Ooh, Alex Jones. Then they start screaming, kill Michelle Melkin, kill Michelle Melkin. And in that audio, you can hear me talking under them. In other audio, all you hear is them screaming, kill Michelle Melkin. With my back turned, it sounds like I'm saying it. And so the Denver Post, the Dallas Morning News had to print retractions. It took 5 days, though. That was the problem, that I did not say kill Michelle Melkin. But that hit newspapers. It hit TV. It hit local TV in Denver, national TV. And so that's why It basically became a firestorm. But then, thank God, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have the internet for people to actually go look at the video. But then millions of people, millions, did watch the full videos, other videos, and it became kind of a Sherlock Holmes who did it. And now we've even tracked down some of the names of the people, and they're basically White House operatives connected in. They even get some government funding. So the reason I say I did wrong is I got set up. If I would have been like Obi-Wan Kenobi, who was calm and in control, that wouldn't have happened. But by turning my back, by getting into the moment,
You do get into the moment. That's your personality.
I did, but I mean, you know, that email you sent me, I don't know if it's okay to talk about, but a few days after, you said, look, Alex, I know you didn't say killer, and I know you didn't do that, but still, you're too much, you know, of a public figure, too many people look up to you, you know, you just can't act like that. So I'm here to say, I handled that wrong. But I handled it wrong and then got set up. That's why it's bad to handle it wrong. But, I mean, to get into the story, there's so many other facets. It was just amazing. You know, my problem is her guys, and there's video of this now, close-up video, but people had to analyze it, were getting up, bumping me, pushing me, and then I would just openly push them back 5 feet. So I basically got set up, but you live, you learn, and it's a process. I don't know if Malcolm was part of the setup, but regardless, people with her were masterful at setting me up, but thank God to the internet, it backfired on them.
See, and let me just say this, and then we'll move on to these truly pressing issues here that are affecting all of us. You are a leader of millions of people as well. You have people following you. They are, in some cases, obsessed with you, and in many cases, agree with you in terms of your perspective of what's happening to this planet today. Many things which you have said in the last 10 years are coming true, as we've talked about. This planet can ill afford to have leaders like you who have strong followings to lose it. Because if you jump off the cliff, they're all going to go with you. And that's why it's imperative. And you asked me, you says, am I through on Coast to Coast? And I said, no, you're not. You don't have any reason to be through with Coast to Coast. Everybody's entitled to a mistake. And the mistake I think you made in this particular case is, we need people like you, Alex, who question and probe and dissect the true greed and the true tyranny that's out there. And we, who are trying to get to the truth, including you, can ill afford to have any of us lose it.
No, you're right. It's that line from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And, you know, I'm 34 years old, and I've been doing this since I was 21. But at the same time, I'm just now beginning to realize everything I do, everything I say, it's all being analyzed. It's all being marked down. It's all being looked at. But bottom line, you know, I do have to control myself,
sure,
because so many people are watching everything I do and then emulating it.
And you don't want to give them any ammunition.
Well, more than just that, when the fake info went out that I was saying kill Michelle Malkin and that was all misrepresented, when I allowed them to set me up, whoever was doing it, I'm not saying she was, but it happened. You know, you're right. I've got so many millions, tens of millions of followers worldwide that they were saying, oh, yes, let's support Alex. Let's go after her. And I had to say, no. I didn't say that. So, I mean, absolutely. It is a huge responsibility. I know you have an even bigger one than I, to have hundreds of millions worldwide that have tuned into your show at one time or the other. I've had tens of millions, you know, to check out InfoWars.com. They have the sites and, you know, what we do. That it's quite a weight to have this many people, you know, focused on what we're saying and what we're doing. Look, I'm just an average person, and I found out about a new world order. I went to urban warfare drills. I witnessed our troops being trained to confiscate our guns and break up our families and put us in FEMA camps. And I got IMF and World Bank documents. I interviewed the Nobel Prize winner for economics, Joseph Stiglitz, 6 years ago about the IMF and World Bank plan to engineer all this. And so, you know, I don't even deserve that much credit. All I've done is been somebody who got into reality and what's really happening in the world and then have told the public. And you're right, now that it's all coming true, it's just exponentially exploding the amount of attention that people pay to everything I say and do. So, you know, thanks for all your advice, George, and I've always taken it to heart, and I really appreciate you and so much for the success I've been able to have at reaching out to people and larger audiences has been through your show and Coast to Coast AM. So for that, I thank you, and I respectfully appreciate the advice.
Well, there are not a lot of people like you, Alex, who have the guts to look at, you know, you and I don't agree on every issue that's out there, but we're pretty darn close on most of them.
Sure. I mean, we agree on the basics. We just have different perspectives.
Exactly.
And you've been around longer than I am. I mean, you know, back when I was in diapers, you were winning, you know, the biggest TV awards in the country for news. So, I mean, I respect what you have to say, George, because, you know, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. And that's what scares me, is that I'm light years ahead of the general public in knowledge, and then I realize that I don't even know that much. And that's what's so scary about this is, people out there, you better pay attention. I know listeners of this show do, but for your neighbors and family who aren't paying attention, I feel sorry for them, because I am obsessed with the information and research 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day on top of, you know, the filmmaking, radio, news, and I know I'm only scratching the surface, and so dedicating myself to research, I don't know one-tenth of what's happening, and I just can't imagine what it's like to be somebody who's, you know, working a 9-to-5 and doing no research and getting home, cooking dinner, watching the soap operas or the sitcoms, because they are like lambs to the slaughter.
You know, we have looked at these issues that we're going to talk about tonight, and there is so much greed and corruption that before 9/11, I don't think people would have believed half of the things that have been going on. Then you look and see what's happening, who's manipulating who, who's profiting. It's absolutely frightening. And we see it now slapped in our face with this 700, as I say, bailout, which it really isn't. Caller that I had last hour was absolutely. It really is. But you even look at what
did the caller call it? They called it a scam.
Truly a scam of huge proportions. But, you know, we look at, for example, the situation in Afghanistan, where now we're going to send more troops back. We never did the job, and that was to get bin Laden.
And Pakistan's because, got nukes, and it's falling apart.
Because I truly believe bin Laden did work on 9/11, but I think he was a hired gun. I think he was put together by this higher group to go ahead and do the dirty work that occurred. But nobody questions the fact that we got Hamid Karzai in there to run Afghanistan, who was one of the spokespeople for Unocal, the big oil company at the time. I mean, there's just nobody puts the pieces together.
And they call him the mayor of Islamabad. I mean, that's all they really control is one city.
It's incredible. I mean, the poppy seed production have exploded.
It's
have
eight exploded. Times any previous record.
And I'm telling you now, finally, after this debacle on Wall Street, people are starting to wake up. They're starting to realize that it just isn't what they thought. And that's got to be upsetting to a lot of people who thought that everything was so pristine. Don't you think?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a great feeling to go to work and have your job and then, you know, go to the local bar or go to church or whatever you do in your off time or go play golf and think everything's fine and we're in the land of milk and honey. But there is a criminal world government that wants to take control of our lives through contrived crises. And no doubt, we can debate how 9/11 happened all day, but bottom line, the New World Order carried it out. They used fronts. They used minions. They used hired criminal terrorist groups. I agree with you on that. And this is a financial 9/11. This is a financial Pearl Harbor, as Warren Buffett said today. And it is organized. It is orchestrated. It is by design. You know, in fact, in my notes tonight for the show, I was going with an actually inflated number just to be conservative, but your guest is right. You could have paid off all mortgages in the country basically for around $100 billion. And so when we hear that it's our fault as citizens, over $100 billion, this is tens of trillions we're talking about. This is the international banking cartel selling junk paper and then trying to leave us holding the bag. That is an absolute fact. And if we don't make the right decision on this, we are going to be indentured servants. And that's what the Army brigades are for.
All right, let's find out and get into this when we come right back. We've got Alex Jones with us. Is this current economic crisis engineered, or is it the product of mismanagement? We'll talk with Alex about all of this and much more when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Alex, this economic disaster, do you think it's stupidity, mismanagement, or they somehow engineered this thing?
Well, George, you know the answer to that, and many of your longtime listeners do, but let's break down some of the facts for folks that may have just joined us for the first time.
Sure.
And then go through the latest details. The 1929 crash was engineered by the British banks that had been able to buy off Congress in 1913 and set up the private Federal Reserve in the name of stopping any depressions or runs on the banks in the future, any type of financial panics. And once they got control in 1913, just a few years later, in 1929, they engineered the collapse by cutting off liquidity. Now, skipping forward to early 2002, the BBC ran a headline on thousands of declassified and released documents, many of which had been leaked out of the IMF and World Bank. And then Joseph Stiglitz quit the World Bank, and it's rumored that he leaked the documents, but I've interviewed him about 10 times or more, Nobel Prize winner for economics, and said there is a plan by the IMF and World Bank and the international banks in the United States and Europe to organize an economic collapse. And then basically they would con the public into believing that if they didn't sign on to what the private banks had done, mm-hmm. that they would be economically bankrupt and their future would be destroyed and they'd be destitute. And so that's now what's happening. Then, about 2.5 years ago, or back in 2006, in June, I traveled to Canada for the Bilderberg Group. You covered it. I got detained for 15 hours, got thrown basically in a cell, got interrogated. You and others helped get me out of there by drawing attention to it. The CBC, national television, and the newspapers covered it, and they released me. Then through our moles inside Bilderberg that year, and this is on record. This is on the Coast to Coast archives at Streamlink. We wrote stories about it at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's on record. I went on your show back in June of 2006, 2.5 years ago, and I said that in the next 3 to 4 years, the private central banks are planning to artificially implode the subprime mortgages
mm-hmm.
as a pretext to cause a larger economic collapse so that they can basically pose as the saviors and then rewrite the financial international order. And in their own words, in the words of the Wall Street Journal, this week set up a new world order financial system. So on the record, we called it. But we didn't just say there'd be an economic collapse in 2008, early 2009. We said specifically that it would start in the next 2.5-3 years with the subprime mortgages, and you covered it last hour. All of the mortgages could have been paid off for $61 billion. Now they're telling us it will take trillions. How would they blame the public? How would they, in the controlled corporate media, say that the people were culpable through taxation and regulation and seizure of national infrastructure, which is coming next, if they didn't falsely claim it was the people's fault? So they took less than $100 billion worth of endangered mortgages.
Truly amazing, isn't it, Alex? Jeez.
It's incredible. And now they're saying,
and now they want $700 billion.
Well, and remember, the SNL bailout of 85 was supposedly, and I have the numbers on this, I actually pulled the original articles. I went to LexisNexis, $5 billion. It ended up costing, conservatively, $1 trillion, $100 plus billion. In fact, I have Bloomberg today bailout not $700 billion, more like $5 trillion. So that's not Alex Jones or George Norrie. That's Bloomberg today. Bailout $5 trillion, not $700 billion.
I believe that it's going to be much higher.
Exactly, and $5 trillion is nothing. And then. You know, we're talking about hundreds of trillions in leveraged assets, in fake paper.
Why would they risk, why would they risk destroying their own setup on the if come of getting this bailout, which I think they want and desperately need?
That is a great, great question. They have the power. They need to exploit it. Private banks that control our Federal Reserve, they issue the currency to the Treasury. They issue liquidity. And they had the power through these fractional reserve banking paper mechanisms to take $1 billion and make over $1 trillion, to take $1 trillion and make a quadrillion or 1,000 trillion. And at first, when you're devaluing a currency, now picture the American people and the nation, the government, as a credit card.
Okay.
And this credit card was backed up by the faith and credit of the American people. That's what Federal Reserve notes are backed up by.
Right.
And so imagine you've got this power. Is it enough for you as the private central banks that own the shares in the private Federal Reserve to be able to issue liquidity and control and regulate other banks that aren't under your control, that aren't owned by you? Or do you want to go for it all? And that's what the PNAC documents said they plan to do. And so they created over a quadrillion or over 1,000 trillion in fake assets. But it only works when the jig isn't up, when the public and the world and other companies and other financial institutions that previously made up the majority. It only works if they're not aware. So at first, when you're running a Ponzi scheme, it looks legitimate.
Right.
And so
no one's aware. Everything is clicking along at a good pace. People are getting mortgages. People are buying houses. The prices go up ridiculously high because people are bidding on houses, and it's too easy to buy. So
and the media says, get into it. It's the thing to do. It's great. The government says it's good. The Federal Reserve says it's good. This is the thing to do. This is how our economy operates. NAFTA and GATT destroyed our industry. We're a service economy. We're going to live on credit. Take a $100,000 house, now it's worth $300,000. You know, take a mortgage out on it or flip it, get a $1 million house, then flip it for a $5 million house.
Refinance it, take the money out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you don't have a job. But again, that's only one small part. That's the ground floor scam. So you have these less than 12 families that own the private Federal Reserve, that own the Bank of England, that own the Bundesbank, that control the planet. But they want it all. They want the farms, the ranches, the companies. They want the real economy. They want the IBMs, the General Motors, the Toyotas. So what do they do?
Why do they need it all?
Well, that's their nature. That's their instinct.
Sickness, then.
Yeah, well, we have their own documents. They don't care if it ruins the whole thing. They don't care if 90% of the public's bankrupt and living in cardboard boxes in tent cities.
As long as they're okay.
As long as they have dominance. It's like Risk, you know, the board game. It's chess. This is global domination, full-spectrum dominance. But this is all stated by the IMF and World Bank and the Ex-Im Bank, the International Bank of Settlements, the Federal Reserve. This is all on record from all the documents we have. So to answer the question, they create over 1,000 trillion in fake assets. They take a mortgage. They take the 100,000 you've got in the bank, and they leverage it out not 10 times for every dollar in the bank, but 1,000 times for every dollar in the bank. In the mid-90s, Summers and Rubin and others changed the rules to do that. And I'm not defending Bush. The point is this is part of a seamless process. They're just puppets. But this really started in the mid-90s, and they said unlimited fractional reserve banking by select international banking institutions. Most banks and insurance companies and brokerage firms weren't allowed to do it. Only the select coterie that are now, quote, managing the crisis and now trying to get us to sign on to debt servitude. So they create more than 1,000 trillion in fiat currency and assets. They buy media companies, infrastructure, water treatment,
everything,
media, defense contractors, shipping companies, mines, gold mines, coal mines, lignite, coal. They literally buy up local governments. They lobby. You know, they spend $1 billion on lobbying for a toll road that only still $100 million a year in Texas because it's fiat. It is a wall of thousands. I say 1,000 trillion. It's well over that. If I went to the real numbers, it's just unbelievable. It is hundreds of times more than all the real assets on the planet. And this weaponized military wall of false paper, false money, but the people don't know. They don't know. You know, it comes later, and then when the public finds out, all the major infrastructure, all the major assets are owned by these private banks. They then, to the private shareholders and CEOs, fence. And this has been happening in the last 6 years. All the real assets, just like Enron was sucked dry before they blew it out. They fence all the real assets into key infrastructure, and then the big brokerage firms and banks are hollow fronts. They're ready to fall. They're ready to fold. And then the public's told the entire international order, you will be in a depression. You will be in a cardboard
Everything
box.
Collapses.
Yes, unless you sign on. Now, even the $5 trillion that Bloomberg, not the $700 billion, even the $5 trillion that Bloomberg is reporting is a smokescreen, is disinformation. That's not the real target. While we're like a magician, while you're looking at the right hand, he is pulling a rabbit out of a bucket and putting in the hat with the left hand. So it's all sleight of hand. While you're looking at the beautiful assistant with the right hand, the left hand is over here pulling the real scam. So the real scam now, all of the previous fraud was only positioning us for the coup de grace.
We still haven't seen yet, right?
Which we still haven't seen. And that, my friend, is this. If you read at whitehouse.gov and thomas.loc.gov, the congressional website, if you go read it, and I've had the former Treasury head of policy analyze this, many others, the last 3 days. We got this Monday morning. It's full of things, but here's just one line from the, quote, bailout plan or the stick-up, the $5 trillion theft. Decisions by the Secretary pursuant to the authority of this act are non-reviewable. Can't even review it.
Yep.
And committed to agency discretion, and may not be reviewed by any court or law or any administrative agency. Now, that's it. When you read it and when you see it, then you realize the full import. And your guest last hour, and you said it, it was incredible. Nowhere else is this being said. A fourth branch of government is being created, but not just a fourth branch. The entire government, legislative, executive, judicial, is being fully swallowed. You know, we're talking about nationalizing Federal Reserve, which should be done, nationalizing and monetizing this debt. The problem would actually be fixed. People are saying, you know, it's either crash now or crash later and crash worse later. No.
But they will fight to prevent that one, Alex.
Exactly. But instead of being nationalized, they are corporatizing. This is just like a corporate takeover. That's all the New World Order is.
An unfriendly corporate takeover.
An unfriendly corporate takeover where they take over nation by nation. They play nations against each other. Then they state all this. That's all the New World Order is. And so they are tricking the public. I mean, the fear-mongering, McCain, Bush, Palin, all of them on TV saying, if you don't do this, we're going to have depression next week. I mean, they've said that word for word. And they've got international bankers in Austin where I'm at.
Yeah, 2 months ago, they were saying the economy is slow, but it's not that bad.
Well, that's because, exactly, they weren't ready to pull the rug out. Now they're moving, and they're in total control. This is being done with incredible precision. I detest them. I hate them. I want to expose them. But I have to admire the mastercraft planning in this. They are in total control. So,
and the guts. They are gutsy, Alex.
They are ruthless. They are not just gutsy. I agree with you. They are reckless. And so they have incredible aplomb. They are going for broke, and that's what the PNAC documents say. They say, why not stage terror attacks? We have nothing to lose. We've got to go all the way. They say, why not stage economic collapses? Why not decapitate our own government? Why not just fully bring in martial law? Now, the Congress, in preparation for all of this, remember, listeners, 2 years ago they changed the bankruptcy rules where it's very hard for the average citizen to declare bankruptcy. They're saying out of these trillions of dollars that you're pledging as a slave to pay through taxes, which they've created out of nothing. Remember, they're taking by the way, they're not taking this money. The last bailouts for hundreds, what is it, like $600 billion now in the last year, they take those and put those into hedge funds, they put those into shorting, naked shorting, and last week everybody said, oh, thank God, they are banning shorting, which hurts the market and is predatory for 10 days. They didn't ban shorting. They said select financial institutions.
That's
on the
what
inside.
They stopped. Exactly. And this kind of reminds me, Alex, too, of a guy goes through a red light and he looks up and he goes, my gosh, I survived that problem. All of a sudden, in the middle of the intersection, he gets his car hit because he's gone through a red light. But he's happy. He's okay. His car's a little damaged. He gets out of the car and he gets run over by another car and he's dead. To me, what are the odds? You know, I don't believe in coincidences. Of all this happening so soon, one after the other after the other.
Well, we have all their documents. We have all their plans. Something, people always say, well, something this big, it'd be public. You couldn't keep it secret. They have not kept any of it secret. It has all been engineered. It has all been laid out. So while they're making it impossible for us to declare bankruptcy, basically, 4 years ago they changed the rules where private companies can take pension funds and not be charged for criminal acts stealing your pension funds that you paid for, that you invested in. So they've been quietly making all of these preparations, and then they engineer the collapse. They trigger the implosion of the Ponzi scheme, and they say, okay, if you'll come in and you'll accept, quote, bailing us out, then you'll be okay. But you look at the bailout plan, it's a stick-up. It's not a bailout plan. And they state that the Treasury basically becomes private, a body of the private Federal Reserve.
Isn't it amazing at how, in the American public's eyes, the Iraq War isn't even happening anymore? It's almost as if it went away.
Now is going to be marked down in history as the collapse of the American empire. But as I said 10 years ago, this collapse, we can talk about it later if you'd like, George, was designed. All the sins of the world, it was the CIA that released to CBS News the Abu Ghraib torture. It was our own government that put out the memos about torturing children. And I remember 5 years ago going, 4 years ago, why are they doing that? Because the internationalist hate America. Imagine, they're in control of the federal government. They hate America. They hate our liberty, our Second Amendment, our freedom, our history. They're global socialists. The big bankers want to socialize people's wealth. They want to regulate people. They don't like private wealth. They don't like the middle class. How do you destroy America forever? You commit all these crimes and all these acts.
You take away their houses.
Exactly. And you do this in America's name. You bankrupt. You take their homes. You put out the torture memos. You torture people. You hire terrorists to stage terror attacks. You allow that to come out, that it was an inside job. But then you blame it on the U.S. government instead of blaming it on the hijackers of the country. And that's it. The New World Order has hijacked this country. They've used it as a vehicle of global domination. They've used it as imperial troops to take over countries. I mean, I'll see international media domestically promote the war, domestically say we're good, domestically wrap all this in the American flag. But the same internationally owned media will then, in Europe, badmouth our country and bring all the dirt out. You see that plan? Domestically, they suppress us, telling us that it's all good and we're really good guys, while worldwide, they say, no, we're bad guys, and then point out the evil agenda and blame it on the American people. And now worldwide, they're telling the people of the world that the American people caused the world depression that's coming. The American people, they lied on mortgage applications, and they did it. Hey, folks, there's over a quadrillion, admittedly, in these junk bonds and junk assets and securities and derivatives. Now, does $61 billion cause that? No. Again,
let's talk a little bit more. Hold on, Alex. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM.